Amy against Ashcroft is our next case for argument this morning. Mr. Cicini.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is John Cicini, and I represent the Alimi family in this case. And we're here because we appealed the immigration judge's decision denying Mr. Alimi and his family's asylum claim, and also the BIA's denial of the Alimi's motion to reopen. Mr. Alimi is an ethnic Albanian that was raised in the former Republic of Yugoslavia. He last entered the United States in 1986, where he filed an asylum application a couple of years after his entry, and ultimately was also eligible for relief through the NACARA statutes for cancellation of removal. At the hearing, prior to the hearing, his family entered the United States in approximately 1995, and their asylum application was consolidated with his. The immigration judge denied his asylum hearing, but granted Mr. Alimi cancellation of removal. Mr. Alimi, therefore, is a legal permanent resident of the United States. However, his family was not able to be granted the cancellation of removal simply because they did not have the 7 years of continuous residence. However, in or about 2002, his family, his wife and two sons, they did then have the requisite continuous residence in the United States of 7 years, and therefore a motion to reopen was filed with the BIA requesting that it be returned to the trial court.
Well, why doesn't Nasser Alimi, who's 24 years old, have his own claim?
At the time, I believe...
Even now. Why is he appended to his mother?
Well, he's... In 1999, he was under the age of 21, and therefore it was consolidated with his father's asylum application, as was Mr. Alimi's wife and other son.
But he doesn't now, I don't quite understand this, but that under NACARA, he doesn't now have some opportunity to try to, because let's face it, he's married, he has a legal wife, citizen children, and he's running a business.
Right.
Seems to me he would have some kind of a claim under that, unless he's barred by it for some reason.
No, that's what the motion to reopen was. The motion to reopen
for him?
For him, his mother, and his younger brother.
Well, I don't know about the other two, his mother and the other two. I just look at him as being a separate case, I guess.
Right. Well, we filed a motion to reopen under all three. Consolidated.
Judge Mannion's question is why he didn't file an independent rather than a dependent claim. Is there a reason?
No. I mean, the motion to reopen.
It's reopening the basis. Case, another case, the same case. Reopening the same case instead of filing another case. It's a curiosity, that's all. I don't know if it's before us or not.
But in any event, all three of them are now eligible for cancellation of removal pursuant to the NACARA statute.
They became eligible, you said, in 2002. When did they first seek relief under NACARA?
When we filed the motion to reopen in 2003.
Why didn't you file an appropriate notice with the board when they became eligible?
I did not.
There was a gap between, a substantial gap, I gather,
yes,
between when they became eligible and when the board rendered its decision.
I did not represent the Alimis.
I'm not asking you personally. Why did not your clients or their representatives file such a request with the board?
I don't know.
With the board?
I don't know, Judge.
Well, but that's what led to the problem here. Right? The board wasn't notified until after it had made its decision, and then it said, this is no news, this is something that occurred before we made our decision.
The 7 years continuous residence, yes.
Yeah.
But I think what's also important is that we did file the motion to reopen, and
yes, but the board denied it on the ground that it was late. that this motion should have been made earlier. Now, was there some obstacle to notifying the board before it made its decision that the 7 years had been accumulated and your clients wanted relief under NACARA?
I don't know of any. But I began representing him in about...
As I say, it doesn't matter when you began. Mm-hmm. You don't get a brand new set of rights when you change attorneys.
Right. I understand that, Judge. But there are also humanitarian concerns in this case, and they've been replaced in the record, which the BIA did not even consider those humanitarian concerns, and they resonate. I mean, you have approximately 25 year marriage. You have three children. You have an individual who owns three or four businesses with his family. You have his oldest son, who's married to a legal permanent resident, has two United States citizens' children. Just the psychological impact of not having their father around,
Why are they not going to have their father around? You seem to be representing that their father will abandon his wife and children. That's not something we generally assume.
Well, I'm not suggesting
he
that
has a legal right to stay in the United States. He does not have a legal duty to stay in the United States.
No, he doesn't have a legal right if the motion to reopen or the asylum is not granted. He does not have the capability right now to adjust his status, even pursuant to his wife's case. And the reason for that is the wife is a legal permanent resident, and therefore there is not an immediate relative petition.
You're talking about the son now.
The son. Yeah. And the wife as well.
The father can stay under NACARA.
The father can stay under NACARA.
But he can go with his family, too.
The father could, yes. And that would, and as the court, the immigration judge found...
Right. So I don't understand what this breaking up families is all about. You seem to be assuming that anyone who has a legal right to stay in the United States will do so and therefore abandon spouse and children. And why should we be treating aliens as irresponsible in that way?
Well, I don't think they would abandon... He would obviously not abandon his family, Your Honor. The problem would
All right, well, then there won't be a breakup of the family.
Well, he does own four or five businesses that he runs along with his family. The fact would have to be, at the present time, his family would have to return to Macedonia to receive their immigrant visa when it became available. So, in today's age, you're talking possibly at least a year abroad. And who would he have to? Who could he get to help him run his businesses? An immigration judge also stated that if he were returned to Macedonia, that Mr. Alimi would suffer not only extreme hardship, but unusual extreme hardship. Which I think that's compelling. That's a compelling argument, Your Honor, regarding the motion to reopen.
So, what's the standard of review?
Whether or not the BIA abused its discretion.
And I guess when we say abuse its discretion, don't we have to go through certain criteria? Can we just say this equitably, this ain't fair?
Well, I think the appellants have to establish three things.
Yeah.
One of them is to show that they have a prima facie case for the relief sought. And now that they have the 7 years of continued residence, they do have...
After the fact, yeah.
After the fact. And the fact that the relief warranted and that relief is warranted under the exercise of discretion.
But, Mr. Sassini, didn't the board find that even though those criteria were satisfied, they were statutorily ineligible for another reason, and that was because they didn't seek an extension of the voluntary departure period?
Yes, Your Honor. They did, but I submit that the BIA is wrong on that issue. In September of this year, this court in Lopez Chavez versus Ashcroft ruled that this court has the authority to stay a voluntary departure.
Said we have the authority to stay it.
Right.
But no stay was ever requested, either of the agency or of this court.
Well, there was a...
There's a big difference between having the power to stay something and actually issuing it.
Right. Judge, in this case, there was a motion to stay removal. That was granted.
Made in this court?
Made in this court. A motion to stay
and
removal.
A motion to extend the time for voluntary departure?
No, that was not taken.
No such motion was
taken. But I'm submitting to the court that the stay of the motion to stay removal should be construed as a motion to stay voluntary departure, and there's some case law on that.
Yeah, but doesn't all that result in is okay? You can, we're not going to throw you out. You have the right to leave yourself. That's all that preserved, isn't it? You don't
voluntary departure.
Yeah, but you can't stay here.
Right.
Bottom line is all it does is extend the time to say, all right, you can't stay here. You leave on your own.
Well, depending on how the case is decided, yes. But as in Desta v. Ashcroft, another 2004 case out of the Ninth Circuit, and which is the case that this court basically used, for lack of a better word, the model in Lopez Chavez v. Ashcroft. In Desta, you had a similar situation where only a stay of a motion to stay removal was filed. A motion to stay for voluntary departure was not filed. The Ninth Circuit stated that, in a nutshell, that filing a motion to stay removal acted as a motion to stay voluntary departure. And basically they reasoned that if a stay of removal is satisfied.
When did the administrative time for voluntary departure expire in this case?
There was an extension to July of 2003.
2003?
Yes. And the motion for stay or removal was appropriately filed within the 30-day time frame. There was no objection from the government. But the Ninth Circuit basically stated that.
And when did we stay the removal?
The exact date, Your Honor, would have been within 30 days, sometime in March 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And it was appropriately filed prior to the expiration of the voluntary departure. And the Ninth Circuit in Desta basically stated that a stay of voluntary departure is ancillary to a stay of removal. And they also went on to discuss a little bit about how, in the interest of justice, filing a stay of removal should be treated the same as and should act and be construed as filing a motion for voluntary departure or staying a motion for voluntary departure. Also,
let me go back. You say we issued a stay of removal in March of 2003, but your case has an 2004 docket number. It wasn't even filed till 2004.
No. There are two separate cases here. You had the appeal on the BIA's affirmance without opinion on the asylum. We filed a motion to reopen. It was denied sometime in October of 2003. Then we had to file an appeal on that decision.
So that's why we have two numbers on it?
That's why you have two numbers. We're required to file another petition for review after a decision on a motion to reopen. So in a nutshell, I think that the family is statutory eligible to adjust their status because of the filing of the motion to stay removal.
Has any court of appeals other than the Ninth Circuit addressed this issue?
There, on that specific case, no, not on the voluntary departure. However, other court of appeals have agreed with this court in Lopez Chavez v. Ashcroft.
Let's assume we follow the Ninth Circuit case. Does that involve a remand to the board to consider the merits? Since it didn't essentially do that, it simply said statutorily ineligible because you didn't get your stay of voluntary
departure. No, I think in my opinion, if you find that they are eligible, it is a remand back to the immigration court.
Okay.
And then we could proceed with a NACARA application. I'd like to turn to the asylum very quickly, where we submit that the substantial evidence test compels that this court find a different decision. Very quickly, I think it's important to put some type of historical perspective here where Mr. Alimi was raised in the old Yugoslavia, which was, as we know, a brutal communist oppressive regime. There, in the record, there are New York Times articles that suggest that or parallels the persecution of ethnic Albanians in the old Yugoslavia to the oppression of blacks in South Africa, where indeed in 1945 there was what he called a second genocide against ethnic Albanians in Yugoslavia, where approximately 500,000 were slaughtered. Mr. Alimi, in the early 80s, became actively involved in obtaining Albanian rights in Yugoslavia.
Thank you. We have your position, Mr. Sassini.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Norwood.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Anthony Norwood, and I'm here today representing the Attorney General. I want to make two points, and I'd like to start with what the petitioner concluded with. And the first is, this is supposed to be an asylum case. The petitioner sought asylum, pursued asylum through the immigration judge and to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and then brought his asylum petition here. Substantial evidence does not compel the conclusion that this petitioner was a victim of persecution in Macedonia. It's simply not there. He claims that he fought for Albanian rights and that he occasionally was harassed. But there's no detention. There's no beatings. There's no evidence of anything beyond harassment. Macedonia was one of the more peaceful countries of that bloc. The petitioner left Macedonia in 83, as I recall, and then went back. He claimed that he was persecuted in the early 80s. After the early 80s, he went home for a few months. His friends had been arrested. This is his story. He claims his friends had been arrested, and that put him in fear, so he came back to the United States. Bottom line is there's no substantial evidence to compel the conclusion that this petitioner is entitled to asylum, and we have to start with the fact that this is an asylum case. Now, I submit also that there is no abuse of discretion in denying the motion to reopen. First, as the board found, they pointed to no error made by the board in its earlier decision, no error or mistake.
The only basis for reopen then would be under asylum. Is that the point?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
The issue is asylum only and the motion to reopen?
No, not necessarily, Your Honor. If, as Judge Easterbrook pointed out, perhaps if they had filed their motion to reopen before the board made its February 2003 decision and let the board know right away that they're possibly eligible for NACARA, that the board could have reopened to pursue that issue.
The board wouldn't have reopened. It hadn't made its decision yet.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's absolutely correct.
Would that have been a procedurally regular motion? I asked Mr. Sassini, and he said he thought it would. Do you agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor. So if he could bring filed a motion before the board made its decision.
In a motion to reopen before they made the decision on asylum, then you could raise NACARA?
Then you could have raised NACARA, and you could have asked. It's a discretionary question, and you could have asked for reopening or to look into NACARA. But at this point, the board found that this basis that it was too late. The board, as you've mentioned, also found that they had overstayed voluntary departure. If you've overstayed voluntary departure, you're not eligible for the cancellation of removal.
Now, is the son, Nasser, I think his name is, the 24-year-old son, is he barred from filing a separate, I guess whatever you want to call it, petition under NACARA?
I believe that he is barred from a NACARA petition. He is a derivative of his father's NACARA petition. He would not be eligible for NACARA relief because he did not come into this country early enough. So in response to your question much earlier, I believe that the sons and the wife are pursuing this relief because they got, I guess, they have more lenient standards under NACARA that they can pursue through their father than they would have to pursue now. the law has changed, and NACARA gave more lenient standards to petitioners and to this petitioner's children. That's why I believe that they're still pursuing NACARA and not pursuing another relief.
NACARA, on a direct application, NACARA is limited to people who entered before 1991. Is that it?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. And they filed it. They filed an asylum application.
Okay. So that may be
that's the answer. That's a key issue.
They are pursuing derivative rights under NACARA. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have not presented cancellation of removal application. A cancellation of removal is much more difficult than NACARA. It's, for example, it takes 10 years and not 7, so they wouldn't be eligible for it yet.
Right. And I assume that will, if it's set on a time certain, when it you have to be here before a certain time, it's that's going to abate, isn't it?
That's not subject to debate.
No, but I mean, at 7 years or 10 years, I don't know what. When was it? You have to be here before what date? 1991 or something?
For NACARA, it would be 7 years, and you only have to be here for 7 years. The children would only have to be here for 7 years. The father had to be here before, in the early 90s, before 90 or 91, and file an asylum application.
But that would be a derivative claim to be here 7 years. Is that what you're saying?
That's the children's derivative.
Not an independent claim.
Not these children's independent claim. They can't necessarily make it. They only came in 95 or, well, it's not clear, but they came in 95 or 97.
Our curiosity also, as far as Salim and whatever his name is, the father.
The father?
He's been here a long time illegally, right?
Well, he's been...
13 or 14 years.
He's been a lawful permanent resident now for a long time.
What was that? What do you call it?
A lawful permanent resident.
He was
granted the relief by the immigration judge.
So, well, recently.
NACARA relief.
Yeah, but when way back, for all the period of time before he was granted that relief, he didn't have any legal standing.
No.
I'm just curious how he has his own business and has employees and you know, taxes and Social Security numbers and all sorts of things. How does he stay under the radar?
That was an interesting point made by the immigration judge, because in these hearings before the immigration judge, he produced a lot of evidence about buying businesses.
Right.
And the immigration judge says, that's an interesting risk you're taking in removal proceedings.
Why doesn't the Immigration Service automatically refer these to the U.S. Attorney for criminal prosecution?
Oh, I don't know, Your Honor. There's just that's prosecutorial discretion, and whether it's criminally pursued is...
It is a crime. There's no doubt of that.
Well, I was going to respond to that earlier question. I'm not exactly sure who bought the business. I think he's in business with his brother, and it might be that he's actually, his brother's actually buying a business, who I believe is a lawful permanent resident.
I don't think using straw purchasers is a good defense. We've worked that out in the gun purchase cases.
Well, I'm not sure that's the case. If I might talk about the Desta case. The Desta case in the Ninth Circuit held that a filing of a petition for review and a request for a stay of removal automatically is a request for a stay of voluntary departure. That I just urge this court that should not be extended to...
Has that issue come up in any other circuit?
Well, as this court has addressed in Lopez Chavez, whether the court has the authority to stay.
Yes, I know that.
Yes, I'm not aware of another case exactly like Desta where they've done this automatic decision that it's simultaneous. It would
has a similar question on any other thing where a court says, well, if we give you A, we're automatically giving you B as well. I mean, there are all sorts of stays that courts issue.
The one that comes to my mind,
rather than something else.
The one that comes to my mind is the De Leon decision from the Ninth Circuit, where they, the ARERA, the new statute, does not include an automatic stay of removal when you file a petition for review. The old INA under 106 had an automatic stay of removal in the Court of Appeals. The Ninth Circuit held that in De Leon that they would automatically stay removal until they could address a stay. And so, but that's more of a docket management case than anything else. And that's the one.
Describe that as docket management.
Why is DESTA wrong?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
You were about to tell us, I think, why you thought DESTA was wrong and we shouldn't follow it.
I believe you shouldn't follow it because it eviscerates the statute. It really undermines the statute. The intent of the statute was that people are not eligible for certain relief if they overstay voluntary departure. They have to pursue voluntary departure. Voluntary departure is a quid pro quo, given the benefits on both sides. And if it's just automatically stayed and they become eligible for this relief that they shouldn't be eligible for because they overstay voluntary departure, you're simply overridden the statute. Your Honors, if you have no further questions, I ask that the BIA be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement. We'll go to our...